Los.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis.
Smoke.
I make fart noises with my mouth.
Los and Smoke.
I'll tell you, I was really worried that I was going to forget how to do this.
Is that what she said?
No, she wishes I would forget.
Uh-oh. Good news!
We still got it.
It's been a while,
it's,
right?
It's too long.
It's been a while, but thank goodness nothing's changed.
No, not at all.
Like, you haven't gotten married.
No. New job, haven't gotten a house, haven't become a completely different human being or anything.
Planning on going to India later this year. My God.
How the hell did that happen?
I don't know. I don't know.
Someone tell me.
Please.
Anyway, in case you forgot who the hell we are, I am Smoke. They call me the Rev. They call me Smoke and Steve. They never call me late for dinner.
They also call you other words we can't really... Well, we could say them.
Oh, we could say them here. This is the internet. Fuck that.
John Cockknocker.
No one's ever called me that until now. And
Uncle Schick Dick.
I like John Cockknocker better.
Oh, boy. Good start.
He is Los, of course. This is Los and Smoke after a year and a half hiatus.
Yes.
How do we explain this hiatus?
Well, I have an explanation.
Yes?
It seems that every sports championship has teams in it that I don't like, so I refuse to talk about them anymore.
Ah.
For instance, Celtics, Lakers.
Yes.
Red Wings, Penguins.
Yeah.
Giants, Patriots.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the baseball one? In the fall.
The Red Sox and the Rockies who beat the Phillies.
Yeah, that's true.
So you just decided.
So this year for the World Series, I'm banking on the Yankees versus the Yankees AAA affiliate.
No, nice. They're not the Trenton Thunder.
Is
they're
the
they're double A. I think it is.
Yeah. Well,
boy.
Whatever.
We started off so interesting, and now we've moved to AAA baseball. Good job. Oh God, I could just hear the internet. All those people out in Czech Republic who've been listening to us are going, "They're back."
Oh, thank God.
Oh boy.
Why did they mess with a good thing? They just stopped then. Before you know, we'll be talking about the Philadelphia Bulldogs.
Oh, the Philadelphia...
The roller hockey team called... Or the roller blading team called the Philadelphia Bulldykes.
No.
I'm just kidding.
You just made that up.
No, I did.
Stop it.
Sorry.
You made that up.
Sorry. The roller derby thing? Remember that whole thing?
I do.
City Rollers?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the only team I know?
Were they the bad guys?
No, they were the good guys.
They were the good guys. It was the Bay City Rollers and the East Bumfuck Cockknockers who were the, I don't know.
They had eight teams in that, I think.
They did. And there was one bad team that everyone played or something.
Right, and they all had, like, handlebar mustaches.
Yes.
Including the women.
Well, we didn't come here to talk about... did we? Did we come here to talk about roller derby? Actually, we did, folks. This is our yearly roller derby extraordinaire. I hope you enjoy it.
The fall roller derby league is starting up soon, so this is our big preview show.
And then this year, God willing, I'll be on that team, I tell you.
They had a position called Fat Couch Potato Fuckhead.
Oh, good. How do you know?
I don't know. I don't watch roller derby, but I would just guess that no league has that.
Fat Couch Potato Fuckhead?
Yes, that's correct.
Anyway. I once played Fat Couch Potato Shortstop Fuckhead. I don't know.
Hey, we won a championship together, didn't we?
What championship?
In baseball? No.
Did
who cares?
What, back in our Glen Olden youth club days?
I think so.
No, I don't think we did.
Oh, who cares? These people in the Czech Republic are leaving. Sorry.
Sorry, folks.
Sorry, Borscht.
Anyway, so to explain the reason why we were here, I think is sheer laziness, actually. Really, that's all.
Life just gets in the way.
Well, that too. And, you
I
know,
mean, you were, as you said at the end of the last broadcast, you were going to get married, and you were starting a new job, and you had a lot of things to juggle. You're buying a new house, and before you know it, it's a year and a half.
And I did them all, and lived to tell about it.
Like a month.
I was crazy.
Yeah, you were crazy.
I think I just spent this whole past year and a half getting used to it. That's what it was. You have to get used to being married. You have to get used to being a homeowner. You have to get used to a different job that was completely out of the field that you originally were in. But.
Totally. I mean, you're dealing with finance now, or something like that. I don't know what the exact
folks, I am the reason that your money has lost 20% this year. It's all my fault.
Gas prices rising, shutting down. I mean, seriously, is there a correlation here, Steve?
Yes. I joined the finance world. Everyone went to hell. Everything.
Everything.
Everything. It's all my fault, folks.
I mean,
but Barack Obama will fix everything.
Yes. Are we making a political thing? Hey, I'll tell you one thing. I think one thing most of us can agree on is that whatever's next.
George Bush is a fuckhead?
Whatever's next would be better.
Yeah, I would take John McCain over George Bush in a heartbeat.
I would too.
But
I'm just afraid that.
Am I allowed to call George Bush a fuckhead?
We'll find out.
How about a douchebag?
We'll find that out too.
How about a cock knocker?
Uncle Shit Dick.
No, that's Dick Cheney. Anyway.
Whoa. Bam. No, this is not NPR, by the way.
This is not NPR. This is, I don't know what,
this is either.
I don't know what this is. So anyway, we can go into the main topic, but what is there anything you want to throw out there for the hell of it before we go on? I mean, you've been doing podcasts without me, you miserable prick.
Well, and, listen, you sit on your ass. I got the itch. Someone else,
There's creams for that.
Yeah. Hey-o. But did you?
Yeah, that's true. But a couple other guys said, hey, let's do a podcast.
And I listened to them.
They were okay.
And I said, you need me.
Hey.
You need me. You needed somebody to be here to be the voice of reason?
And we came down to you?
Yeah, I know.
No, the thing is, you actually do a lot of great. You run the show. You make things go from one segment to another really, really smoothly.
That's because I really don't have anything interesting to say.
No, but
I just
didn't realize how tough a job that is.
It
is hard.
Well, you have to get beat up by the radio industry for 15 years before you can do that.
Sure.
you got to get your ass kicked, basically.
Sure, absolutely. And I was stuck in places. I'm like, what do we do next? And there's a lot of silence going on here, and the Rev would know what to do. And we had some pretty funny topics, but we certainly didn't have anything.
Well, that's the difference. You have the funny topics, because my life just isn't that damn interesting. So I'm here to hear about everyone else's life and help them move it along.
Well, maybe we can bring Ray in the slant.
I want
those
to.
Those guys are really.
I think we can do a merger with all of these. Get everyone together. Make it just a band of morons in your basement.
Yeah. Instead of having poker night, we'll have podcast night.
Right. Besides, I always lose a poker night. I'd rather do this. This is this is in my wheelhouse here.
Because you just don't know how to gamble correctly. No. I watched you. Play and you stink.
I stink?
You stink
at poker. Yes,
a blind guy could beat you in poker.
Oh, come on,
a blind guy could beat you in poker.
I did very well on my cell phone with this little poker game that I have. I was up about $3,000.
Real money?
No.
Real tomato ketchup, Eddie? There's a difference between funny money and real money. That's how they bring you in. They're like, hey, this is really simple.
I can do
this on the phone.
Well, I came to your poker night that one time, and I thought, I can do this. I play this on my cell phone all the time.
How'd it work?
$60 later after, 20 minutes?
It was pretty quick.
10 minutes?
Yeah. It's like getting fleeced by a hooker.
Hey.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't know firsthand. I'm just saying, that's the way it probably feels. Like getting the old thumb up the old sphincter.
I don't think hookers wear fleece unless it's the winner. And even then, it's not really a good look. That old Navy thing, not good for the hookers.
Not so much. Anywho, but I digress. So if you want to win some money quick, invite Smokin' Steve over to your
I'm a blackjack guy, which, evidence in Vegas. And
I did so well
out there, I only lost $20. Of course, I was only betting like $10 a hand.
But you were playing a lot. You played like 3 or 4 days there, right?
I did.
So
I did.
That's not bad to come out $20.
I did, and I almost beat the shit out of a guy.
Yep.
And
that's why I won't get on the blackjack table, because I don't know all those little nuances on what you have to do.
Apparently, neither do I.
Okay.
So I thought I did, but there was one nuance I didn't know about. But
I mean, I know how to play blackjack. I relatively know when to hit, when to stay.
Okay, I'll test you.
All right.
You've got a king and a five. And the dealer has a six showing. What do you do?
You stay.
Ah. Why?
Because the dealer could come up with a 16 and then you'd have to hit anyway.
Yes.
And then most likely he's going to bust.
He knows something.
See, I know that.
He knows something. Let's go to Vegas. Right now.
Right now.
We don't need to go to work.
We could go to Harris and Chester.
We
and
could
play that video.
The video blackjack with they put a model on the screen with really a lace bustier and really large chips and. And it just makes you bet more money, I'm telling you.
Sure it does. Absolutely. She gives you a little smile like, hey,
he's like, all bets in,
here's
please.
Your cards.
Here's your cards.
You're going to win. You're going to win. Oh, you lost again. Fuck that. Want to bet again?
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word today is fuck hat. Say it with me.
I thought it was cock knocker.
No, fuck hat.
We might have to put the explicit tag on this.
Oh, yes. Right? The explicit tag is like that needed to be
sorry.
Announced.
Well, I just want to. Whatever. All right, so you went to Vegas.
I did.
And you had a great time out there. And you spent some time in San Francisco.
I did.
And took a trip to the Napa Valley.
I did.
Which I did last year. Which,
yes.
Of course, we didn't get to talk about either. It was a fantastic trip. I had a great time.
I swear to God, grapes everywhere.
Oh
grapes,
my God.
Grapes, grapes, and more grapes.
Vineyards.
That's all it is.
Unbelievable. 490-some... wineries out there.
Yes.
In Napa Valley alone.
And I'm 350 of them are good? I don't know. Do any of them suck?
Well, I'm not a wine connoisseur to tell the truth here. I went out there just not knowing what to do, and I had a great time. I enjoyed a lot of the wines. I didn't know the good from the bad, but I drank it all.
I mean, it probably says something to me that I thought the best winery out there was owned by Mario Andretti.
You just said that because you like Mario Andretti.
I never cared about Mario Andretti.
I met the guy.
You did?
I met him.
I didn't get to meet him.
I met him and Michael Andretti.
So yeah, I never was a fan, but you know he made a pretty damn good wine. I must say,
that's good. They have tons of great wine out there, and you can find some really good value out there too.
I found a couple of them.
Yeah,
and I actually found one of the wineries I went to. They're selling their wine in Delaware.
Are they? Really?
I went to the wine store in Delaware, and they had Rutherford Ranch.
And somehow you can't get that in PA because
PA is backwards.
A bumblefuck state. It really is.
You can't ship wine to it.
You can, but it's got to be a certain amount,
and it's got to be only to the state store. You have to ship wine to the store, and then go to the store to pick it up. And oh, by the way, I think there's an extra tax on that.
Oh, I'm sure.
About 10% maybe.
I'm sure. It's fantastic. So, what a great scam they got going on there.
You know, if Ed Rendell only paid his speeding tickets, we wouldn't have to have that
you
tax.
You walk into those wineries and they ask you, so where are you from? And you're like, Pennsylvania. And they're like, oh shit.
We can't sell to this guy. Oh,
great.
Shit.
You want to buy one bottle of wine?
One bottle. Yeah, here's your freaking bottle of wine. Want to drink it here or take it to go?
It really sucks.
Yeah.
It really sucks.
They literally just get disappointed. They get crestfallen.
They do. They look, you guys are such nice people and you're from
PA. Yeah. We'd love to take all your money and give you 20 bottles of wine that you only drink three of them.
We still have a couple left. A couple
you do?
The darks, yeah.
Well, break them out. Let's go. I don't think I'm doing this sober.
Whoa. Sorry. Jeez. So yeah, that was a good trip, and so you start off with this new company.
I did, which and, you know we're going to remain we're going to keep it nameless
yeah.
because
we both
you know
work there.
We both work there, and we don't want anyone to find out. So,
but are you enjoying it so far?
I am. Yes,
this is something that was totally different from what you'd ever done.
I was a radio guy for 15 years, something like that. Shit.
Well, but you've been doing stuff multimedia
16 years
since high school.
Uh huh.
I mean,
and just to break away from the radio business because basically they treat you like a baby treats a diaper, unless your name is Howard Stern.
But that jump must have been something. I mean, you just totally changed careers like 180 degrees.
Yeah. And I was so desperate. I think I just would have, you know, I would have shoveled crap for at least 5 months if that had led to something.
Yeah, I didn't.
But,
I handed in your resume. I didn't know if anything was going to happen with it. And sure enough.
So now here I am dealing with your money.
Better hurry.
Yes.
Better hurry.
Your money is in good hands.
Although our company is doing pretty well.
Our company is fine. Yeah. We are one of the better companies out there.
That's right.
Yes.
We don't have any Kenneth Lays there.
Ew. No, we don't. And no banks. We're not part of a bank going under or anything like that. Your money is... it's somewhat safe. It's in the market, so it's about as safe as the market is.
As safe as it can be.
Yes. Hey.
Hey, what was that?
I broke your bar again. Every time I come over here, I break his bar.
Hey-o. Are we still talking about my bar?
Hey-o. I'm not even sure if that was funny, but it was good timing.
It was really terrible. It's terrible.
So anyway, main topic. Why don't we just...
By the way. Great segue.
Speaking of breaking bars. 16 years of radio, and that's how you do a goddamn segue.
Just like that.
Oh my God, what did I just do?
You broke something.
Oh, is my cell phone ringing? I don't know. No, it's fine. It did. One missed call. Who called me? Oh, okay. I didn't do it. All
right. Okay.
They can wait. Anyway,
don't you love technology?
Yes. We were going to, we came up with like 20 topics, of which three of them were probably good. And,
Thank you.
Yes. Well, actually, you came up with most of them.
That's why only three were good, right?
Exactly.
Dick.
But then this week, something happened, and this is, you know, it's certainly a Philadelphia story, so maybe most of you wouldn't care, but I think we can tie this in because it's stories of our youth.
Oh, absolutely.
Our youth, which is now dying. It's dying a slow and painful death.
It really is.
It really is. When they grew up with this place. When they take down one of your favorite, the sports arena that you went to games in for your whole life, mm-hmm. and now it's gone. It's going to be gone in a year.
And you almost announced in that stadium.
Almost. Very close.
That would have been something.
I tried out. I got to use the microphone in front of 10 people.
You were, you were at one point the backup.
I was for the local indoor soccer team. I was a backup PA announcer, and I never got my chance.
Philadelphia Kicks.
Yes,
we can call them that.
Yes, and they're actually currently technically no longer in existence because that whole league is folding or something.
The team is still in existence. The league no longer is.
Right. They still have an office, so they'll go. They'll kick around the ball if you give them $10.
Sure.
But
sure they will. There is such a market for indoor soccer.
I could have been a backup PA announcer in the Philadelphia Spectrum. That is the building we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. But it never came to be because I wasn't available on the day that they needed me.
Think about this.
Yes.
In 1988,
mm-hmm.
JFK,
mm-hmm.
Vet Stadium, mm-hmm. and the Spectrum were still there.
That's amazing.
20 years later, well, the Spectrum is still technically there. But
it will be,
those will be gone.
The Philadelphia Spectrum, for those of you who don't know, it was our local home to the Flyers and Sixers. Mm-hmm. And they now have a new building across the way, the Wachovia Center. But the Spectrum stayed up. They still use it. It's right next door. And they still have events there. But now they have decided that they are going to take the Spectrum down next year.
Yeah.
So we decided we'll just put out some memories of this place that we both have.
And the main reason they're taking it down is because they haven't been able to build up any types of restaurants, shopping areas, or anything like that because of the neighborhoods around there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is their way of doing that at this point.
Yes, they're going to replace it with something called Philly Live, and it's going to be, which I think the live name has been used 25 times in America. There's like Des Moines Live.
Baltimore has one, I think.
They do, yeah. But it's called something different. Is it the power plant, I want to say?
Yeah, it is the power plant.
I don't know if that's the same company, but it's something like that if you're familiar with Baltimore. It's basically just hotels, restaurants, bars, nightclubs, booze.
Just gives you another reason to hang out in that area instead of just going to the game
right.
and leaving.
Right.
That was one of the biggest parts about Philadelphia, the South Philly area for sporting events. You would go down, watch the game, and leave. There was nothing else in that area to keep you there.
I remember I was at a Phillies game once. I think it was like 1991, 92 or something. And some guys were sitting next to me who were from out of town. And they literally asked me, they say, yeah, is there anywhere around here, like next to the stadium, that we can go get something to eat? And I looked at them and went, no.
Holiday Inn.
The Holiday Inn, that's
that
about
was
it.
That was it.
That literally was it. There was a Holiday Inn there. You had to go blocks mm-hmm. to find anything good.
Well, and now the Chickies and Pizza is within reasonable walking distance.
That's still a hike, though. It's not next to the stadium. The new stadium, the new baseball stadium, has a bar and grill in there, mm-hmm. which is pretty good. But really, the place was lacking. So they looked at this Spectrum, and really, I guess they couldn't... what they said was they couldn't justify the upkeep of the place anymore, so it's gone.
Well, they had plans to actually build a hotel on top of the Spectrum. They were looking into that. And they just,
on top of?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Somehow incorporating the Spectrum into a hotel structure.
Oh, I could see that, but like literally building a hotel on top of it. I don't think the roof could hold it.
Well, they'd have to...
blew off in 1967. I don't think they're going to hold a hotel.
I don't know how they were going to do it, and that's probably why they didn't do it, because it probably would have cost way too much money, and they just said, you know what? Screw it. And this is the last building that has housed champions.
In Philadelphia, city. Yes. The last champion in Philadelphia, 1983. Mm-hmm. And well, the last major champion. Let's not forget. The Kicks won a championship in a year
ago. The Wings won a bunch.
The box lacrosse team wins championships.
The Phantoms?
The Phantoms. The minor league hockey team wins championships.
And hold your breath. Maybe the Philadelphia Soul.
The Philadelphia Soul might win a championship. But the major four teams...
Not so much.
Not so much. Not 1983.
In fact,
was the last
100
one.
Years.
100 seasons.
Seasons, yeah. Well, basically, if you count each team as a year, that's 4 times 25 is 100 years. 100 seasons.
Well, there was no season in hockey.
Okay.
1 year.
Well, technically, in the last 25 years, there hasn't been many seasons.
That counts as a loss in my book.
It was. But think about this. With the Stanley Cup. It doesn't say that an NHL team has to win the Stanley Cup.
That's right.
The best hockey team. And that year, the Phantoms won the Calder Cup. So technically, they could be Stanley Cup champions.
Not so much.
I'm just saying.
Not so much.
Let me live it. This is a city that wanted to give a parade to a fucking horse. Okay? Okay?
Smarty Jones won the first two, man. He was going for the third.
They were ready to give a freaking parade. A horse? Come on. Has it gotten that bad?
If Smarty Jones had won, yes, we would have had a championship parade down Broad Street for his ass.
That's crap. Like, let's say a tennis legend, a player from Philadelphia, won a major tennis event. Would we give a parade to that tennis player?
Right now, yeah, I think we would.
I don't think so. That's awful.
I'm pretty sure we would. I mean, you know. If the local seniors club in South Philadelphia won a bocce ball, I'm pretty sure they'd have a parade right about now. A bunch of old guys named Sal going, "We won, goddammit!"
And we'd have a ticker tape parade for them.
Yeah, I know. There'd be guys outside holding signs going, "Yeah, Vinny, all right, way to throw that freaking ball
in. City of champions again!"
So, yes, the Philadelphia Spectrum, not only did it hold sporting events, but it held so much more. Mm. I mean, concerts, wrestling, circuses. Yeah.
Circi.
The circi.
That might be plural for circus. I'm not really sure.
So we just figured we'd throw out a few stories. And I'll start with you. First concert you ever went to, was it at the Spectrum?
It was, and it was the only concert I ever went to. At the Spectrum.
The only one.
Yeah, I only went to one at the Spectrum.
Which one?
The Eric Clapton concert.
That's the first. That was your first concert?
I think so. Did the Stones come out before that? When they played that stadium?
Steel Wheels was 89. And Clapton was, that was the Journeyman year, that was 1990.
Okay, so it was like the third concert I went to. Oops. When you get to be my freaking age... They all run together, damn it.
You're 36.
Shut up.
It's not that old.
I know, it's not. But anyway, yeah, so I only went to one concert, and it was Clapton, which is a great concert to go to.
And I was at that one. That was the first time I had seen Clapton, and I am a Clapton nut. So.
Yeah, and you've seen him...
Nine times now.
Nine times, wow.
Yes.
Nine times.
That was the first
Ed
one.
Ed Rooney. Nine times.
The hell was that?
Did you ever watch Ferris Bueller's
Day? Oh, yeah, that's right.
I have to go through all this.
I knew
crap.
The name, but I didn't hear it. I don't remember the nine times line for some reason.
Well, because he was out of school for nine times in 9 days or something like that, and he broke into the computer and put it down to one.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's right.
Ed Rooney was talking to the mom and saying nine times.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Jeez.
I never get to see that movie from the beginning. Every time I turn it on, it's like 20 minutes in.
When Cameron was in Egypt's land. My Cameron go. That was good.
Thank you very much. Carl Grebe, everybody. Okay, He'll be here all week.
So that's an easy question for you. What was the best concert I saw at the Spectrum? It was the only one, and you know what? That was a pretty good one.
That was pretty good. Yeah. I think if I remember correctly, it was a group of like 12 of us from high school, and four of whom were teachers.
Were teachers, yes.
Four teachers went to a rock concert with us. Our parents didn't go, but our teachers went.
Well, we weren't the crazy party animals, though.
No, we were the good kids.
Yeah, you know? We were the smart kids that got shoved in lockers and stuff like that.
I didn't get shoved in lockers. I was too big.
They didn't make lockers.
I couldn't fit in a locker.
They didn't make lockers in the size. Oh my god! Holy fucking shit!
They just de-pants me or something. That was a lot easier to do to a fat kid.
That was in sixth grade, though.
That what? No, was it wasn't.
No.
What, were you there when I got de-pantsed?
Was it in the locker room?
That was in I got de-pantsed in gym class once.
Yes, in the locker room.
No, not in the locker room.
Oh,
out
really?
In gym class.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Fitz.
Really?
Yeah, he got me from behind. He just boom.
I am glad I wasn't there to
see
that.
Yeah, you were not there to see that, I don't think.
Me and Stevie Wonder would have something in common if that was the case.
Well, you would have blinded yourself. You would have poked your eyes out.
Anyway. Scratched them out.
So anyway.
So you saw Clapton there.
Yes, that was the first time I saw Clapton.
Have you seen other shows there?
Oh, yes, a number of them.
I think was the
saw Clapton show? Again. That later that year. So I saw him twice that year at the Spectrum. But then I saw the Doobie Brothers.
Okay, very nice.
Actually, I'll say the first concert I went to that, well, I let me rephrase that. The first concert I ever went to without adult supervision was at the Spectrum.
Wow.
And I had been to a couple of shows before that, but was taken like one time by my uncle and a couple times by my mom, the crappy show she wanted to see. Technically, ladies and gentlemen, technically the first show I ever went to see live was Neil Sedaka.
Ew. That might rank up there with John Tesh.
That was like the Allentown Fair. I was 4 years old, and mom wanted to see Neil Sedaka, so she drugged me along, and I didn't know. But
man. All right, well, that explains a lot.
And I did once see Kool & Gang at the Valley Forge Music Fair, right. But Mom sent me with my uncle to that
That's
one.
That's okay.
Now, Kool & Gang was okay.
Yeah.
They're a little funky.
There was a point when we were in middle school that we loved Kool & Gang,
right.
Steve.
Right, we did.
We loved them.
We did.
I thought Misled and Tonight, I was like, this group is just going places.
Misled. Oh.
And Fresh. I was like, I can't believe this group keeps churning out.
Fresh.
Keeps churning out hit after hit. This may be the best band ever.
Yes, and they didn't have another hit after that.
I don't think they did.
But the high school years hit, and I got a hold of a free ticket. Somebody said, want to go? I went, Robert Plant.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
It was a good show.
Was it Manic Nirvana?
Manic Nirvana, I believe. It was the album with Tall Cool One.
That's before Manic Nirvana. I think that was Zen, something Zen.
Now in Zen.
Yeah.
It was Now in Zen. So, was it? No, I'll look it up, but I think it was Now in Zen.
Or was it with the Honey Drippers?
No. Oof. Yeah. Do you remember when we...
It's the guy that worships Satan.
Lord. Who? I don't worship Satan.
No.
Oh,
Plant.
Robert
Plant. That was
Plant.
A rumor.
Nice.
Remember that whole thing?
Yes,
that,
of course.
Whatever.
So, and how about this? For the opening act, Joan Jett.
Whoa.
And the Blackhearts.
Wow.
Just happened to be opening up.
That's nice.
And this was... there was depravity all over the spectrum. It was fantastic. I tell you, there was... You know, just getting to see some of this stuff for the first time. You know, people in the front row flashing themselves at the band. And there are people out there blowing marijuana smoke into balloons, tying them up, throwing them up in the air. And then people are trying to catch them and pop them in their faces. That's right in the front row. That's the spectrum right there.
That is beautiful. That is awesome. I didn't get to see that with Clapton, though.
No.
You were way too far up, though.
We were in the last row for Clapton.
Did you sleep out for tickets ever?
John Kalen did, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He did with the Stones.
I think I hung out with him at some point, though, while he was doing it.
There is no way Inga would have let me do that.
No.
No possible way.
No way Gwen would have let me do it, either.
No possible way. Absolutely not.
Right.
I would have had new curse words developed in German if I would have come up with that request.
But, Mom, what's a Fachknock?
That's why I got Cockknocker, by the way. Because I asked.
Clapton, let's see. I saw the Doobie Brothers there with the Fabulous Thunderbirds opening up one time. Elton John I saw there. That was another one.
Was that Elton John and Billy Joel, or just Elton John?
No, just Elton. Okay. Just Elton alone. What else? Oh, gosh.
The Feastival might have been played there before.
The Feastival.
Y100, an old radio station.
Oh, okay.
In Philly, did the festival outside in the summertime, had a bunch of bands, and then they also did the Feastival like Thanksgiving weekend. And I went to one of those festivals, and that may have been in the Spectrum. So I saw a couple other bands. I can't even remember who they were.
But no, of
Live
course
was one.
But of course, numerous Flyers games and Sixers games.
Man, I remember the first Flyers game I remember going to was against the Edmonton Oilers and Wayne Gretzky.
Right. Okay.
And Lindbergh was in net.
Okay.
That point. So the Flyers had lost 6-5.
Ooh.
In that game.
Ooh.
And I think Gretzky probably had 2 goals and an assist or something.
Not
like that.
One of Pelly's better games.
No.
No.
No, not at all, no. And I was a Froze fan at that point, so...
Oh, yeah, that's right. You liked Frosty.
I did like Bobby Froze.
Bobby Froze.
Of course, there was a nickname, 5 Goals Froze.
Gosh, I did the first Flyers game I saw. I think it was the Islanders, and I think they were still wearing the long pants.
Okay,
instead of the shorts.
I think that was 85.
And Bobby Clark was still on the team, yeah. And all those guys. So
that, yeah, I was going to say Bobby Clark and maybe Billy Barber.
Here's a great Spectrum story. I was actually thinking about this today, and this was at a Flyers game I was at. In fact, it was a playoff game. 1985, the Wales Conference Finals. The Flyers were playing the Quebec Nordiques. I want to say it was game...
Oh, you saw the goal.
Which...
Was that the Poulin goal?
The
5-on-3?
I don't remember it being a 5-on... Okay. It wasn't the winning game.
I don't think it was a winning game either, but I think there was a 5-on-3.
It may have
against
been.
Against Quebec. And
I remember Poulin scoring.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, this is one of the things I remember most about that game. Besides the fact that Pelle Lindbergh actually had a great game. He stood on his freaking head. Place was so damn loud, of course. Everyone's going crazy. But one thing I remember about that game, and it was kind of a gradual thing throughout the game, about two sections over from me, there was, in the first period, there was, I had noticed that some fans had started cheering out of the blue. Like, it was a normal time, it wasn't like big cheering, but all of a sudden a few fans started clapping. And I look over, and there's a hot babe walking down the steps. Literally, tight shirt, just clinging all over, short shorts. I couldn't really make out her facial features. It was a few sections away, but I could tell she had it. And
she had it.
I'm 13 years old. I'm just starting to figure out. And there's something about those breasts there that I don't know what it is, but it's good.
I gotta have it.
So she walks down the steps, and a few guys start hooting and hollering at her. Oh, yeah, all right. So she goes down, does whatever, comes back up, and they start clapping again. So I don't know if she liked it, if she wanted it to, you know, to get the attention, or if she needed to go to the bathroom a lot, or if she just went to get more beers. Mm-hmm. She came down again, and more people start clapping this time. And she comes back up. Now, keep in mind, we're in the second level of the spectrum. The third level is above us. You had to, if you were in the third level of the spectrum, you had to climb all the way down the second level to get to the one concourse that the spectrum had. So she was up in the third level. She would go all the way down level from the top to the bottom and then the bottom to the top. And each time she went up and down, guys would start clapping.
It spread like a fungus.
It did. Now, I swear to God, each time, she must have did it three times a period. Each time, more people would notice. And pretty soon, it was spreading to our section. We would start clapping. I swear to God, by the time the third period came, when she came down, she got a standing ovation from the entire spectrum.
Did she really?
Yes. The whole place, the minute they saw her, the whole place went apeshit.
Awesome.
And you could barely see her from the other, but they still were up.
We're just spread around. Look at this girl.
Because, if you're in the seat, you're like, what are they applauding at? And then you see the girls, like, oh, they're applauding her. And then after a while, we start joking with her. Oh, she's back again. And then after a while, it just spread so far that the whole place gave her an ovation.
Oh, my God.
And they didn't have any kind of jumbotron or anything. You had to see her.
Picture.
No.
You
had to see her with your naked eye from the other end of the spectrum. And she was not in the straightaway. She was in one of the curved parts of the spectrum. So even the people in the other end of the curve were clapping.
That is awesome.
That's a spectrum story right there.
That's a beautiful spectrum story. I remember watching, I think I went with you to a Sixers game against the Celtics there one time.
Yeah, we had a group of us that went.
And I think me and you actually stuck around and got autographs. It's something you tended to do a lot. I never did it. That was the first time, I think only time that ever did.
I got a lot of stories surrounding that.
Okay.
And I'll tell you some of those too. But we did, and I think, were you there that night? I think that's the night we met Reggie Lewis.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
You were there.
Yeah, I got an autograph of him.
So the late great Reggie Lewis, we met there, and but that was one of the places I did that a lot. And I used to do it at the Vet more often, wait around afterwards, see if I can grab some autographs. But every now and then, do it at the Spectrum, and the Spectrum was one of those places where the players, literally, the players' parking lot was right next to the building, no fence whatsoever. None.
Wow.
Nowadays, the Wachovia Center, you know, and any...
It's underground parking.
Yeah, any arena worth its weight in salt, they're going to put the players' cars, and they're going to guard them. Not at the Spectrum. When you were on the Flyers, you walked out to the same parking lot as everyone else.
That's amazing.
And you walked out pretty much the front door. It's a separate entrance, but right underneath the front door, just like everyone else. So, literally, you walked out right in the middle of the people.
That's amazing, isn't it? That is amazing.
And being out there, I'll start with one story. It involved, it was about 1990. Remember when Charles Barkley spit on that little girl?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, I do.
It was that year, and it was shortly after that incident. I guess Charles got mad at a nearby fan, and I guess the fan called him the N-word, and he went to hock a loogie at him and hit a little girl instead, for which he apologized. I remember this was shortly after that. It was a game, I don't remember who they played, but I remember I was waiting outside. It was around Christmas time, really cold, but I was waiting outside trying to get some autographs, and we were a group of us there, and every now and then we try to speculate who was left, and there would be a couple of fans, you know, who would come out and said, "I know Charles Barkley's still in there." You know, we heard he's still in there. Now, at this point, you know, if you were a hardy autograph seeker, you had to make a decision. Now, Grant, this is at nighttime in the middle of winter, in December.
And South Philly.
It's cold. Okay? But you have to make a decision. Are you committed enough to wait? Because the chance is, the outside chance is always that the other fan could be full of shit. And Charles Barkley was not in there, and you just waited 2 hours for nothing.
For absolutely nothing. I'm sure that's probably happened to you on a couple occasions.
It's happened to me more than once. You know, you try to wait for one last one, and you wind up...
And, of course, Barkley's the big guy. He's the star that you want to get.
Of course.
So there's rumor that going around that he's still there. You might take that chance.
Sure, sure. So I decided to, and it paid off.
Because
now, this was the other side. There was another side of the spectrum that had a long ramp. And, if your car was up, happened to be up in that lot, sometimes they brought it down the long ramp to a player, but sometimes the player had to walk up to get it. No one must have brought Charles the car because he came out and he had to walk up the ramp.
Now, how many fans were left?
I would say there was about 12 of us.
Okay, not a huge lot.
Group. 12, 15. And we see him start walking up the ramp. And we're not behind any partition or anything, so we just wait at the top of the ramp. And we could tell he was laboring a little bit. Like, he had a long game. He must have been hurt or something, because I think he stayed in longer to get some treatment. So we decide, well, we'll just meet him halfway down the ramp.
Very good. Why not?
So we go running down the ramp to him, and I don't know what he's thinking at this time, but the damnedest thing.
He got the loogie. No, Carly did not.
First of all, the one thing I noticed about Charles is a fun-loving, gregarious guy.
He hit on my wife once.
What?
He hit on my wife once.
That's a story for
another day.
That's a story for after this.
Well, it was at the spectrum.
First of all, he looked tired.
Okay.
I mean, he looked like this was right after. First of all, he had been through a media firestorm over spitting on this little girl. Everyone's criticizing him. Mm-hmm. He's tired. He just played a game. He obviously needed treatment on his back. He was limping a little bit coming up the steps. He looked like, in the face, he looked like maybe he didn't want to deal with this.
Okay.
But
understandable, too, by the way.
The first words out of his mouth was, "Thank you all for waiting for me."
Oh, my God.
You don't
hear that. Would you expect that from Barry Bonds?
No. No.
Just saying.
And the way he said it like he was so damn happy to see us. He was so damn happy that somebody wanted to come up and say hi to him, that he was getting so much abuse. He's like, "Thank you all so much for waiting for me."
No, that was awesome.
And he said, "Merry Christmas, everybody."
Hey.
I was like...
That's why he's still beloved in the city.
I wanted to give him a hug. I was like, "Charles, come here, buddy."
He probably didn't want that.
No, he didn't want
so
that.
Much.
No, he did not.
No, but that's why.
That,
I mean, one of the reasons why he's still so beloved in the city.
I've met Charles on a number of occasions. He never turns down a fan.
No,
never.
Awesome.
He's great to the fans.
That's
always has
part
been.
Of the secret. That's why Mike Schmidt never caught on. So I mean, not caught on, but you know, that's why he's been criticized.
There were times he was good to the fans, but he could be grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
He just, you know, he didn't want to be bothered sometimes, but I've met him on times when he was good, so I'll give him a credit. I got his autograph, so fuck everyone else. But
whose autograph did you not get? Jeez.
Barry Bonds.
And you had a chance, and you were
I did
him.
See him. I okay. did see him get out of a cab, but he ignored us.
Of course he did.
Yes, he did. But now let's see. One of the more unusual, I'll give you one of the more unusual ones. I was out there for the NHL All-Star Game. And met a few of the players that day, but a guy I met that day was Marv Albert.
Oh, yes!
This was before his tryst.
Yes!
His tryst with the... years before his tryst with the...
whatever it was.
Dominatrix there.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
and you know what I noticed about Marv? He had the kick-ass fur coat on.
Did he really?
He did. He was pimping.
Probably not a spokesperson for PETA then.
No, not at all.
Not so much.
Not at all.
Not so
and
much.
I happen to have an NBC Sports hat on.
Wow.
I got a hold of an NBC Sports hat. I was wearing it that day, so I was like, I'll get him to sign it. He looks at it, and he goes, nice hat. And
yes!
Signs it. Yes! But that's not the best.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to go to wrestling.
Whoa!
Actually, the best autograph I ever got out there was Lee Majors.
Did you really?
The $6 million man. He was at a Sixers game, and he came out the same exit as the players, and he signed for everybody.
Wow.
But the funniest one, if you know anything about wrestling.
I do.
I know you do. This was the late 80s, and it was starting to, it was popular.
But it was dying down at that point a little bit.
Maybe,
the rock and wrestling was dying out.
It was the tail end of the first wave,
okay.
But it was still big. Hulk Hogan was still around. And people knew at that point that it was not real.
What? What?
People kind of sort of knew that it was not real, but
it's choreographed.
It wasn't talked about.
Okay.
You weren't going around
still kayfabbing.
Yeah, they were still trying to play up like they were, you know, doing their thing, like it was for real. At least, you know, wink wink, nudge uh-huh. nudge. So, I just happened to be outside one day before a wrestling match and I said, "You know, I've never waited for wrestlers. I want to see what some of these guys are like." So, I waited out there. And some of them were cool. Some of the so-called bad guys, very cool. Jimmy Hart. Jimmy, mouth of the South.
I heard he's
Hart.
A great guy.
Super guy.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
He got out of the cab. He said, "How you doing, guys?" You know, he actually acknowledged us. Tito Santana, another great guy.
Oh, yeah. You expect that.
Rick Rude, not so much.
You expect that.
He played, you know, he was a bastard.
Douchebag.
Yes.
Douchebag.
But here's the kicker. Some of these guys weren't into their character, but some of these guys were.
Okay.
A cab comes up, and I don't know if you remember him, but I don't know if our fans remember a guy named Kamala the Ugandan Giant.
It's a big black man.
Yes.
He was big and fat.
With a big mask.
And he also had, like, these, well, it painted on, like, a moon and a star
yes.
on his
they,
belly button.
The gimmick they played for him is that he was from Uganda. He was this cannibal. He was this dangerous man. You know, he would slap his belly and go, and that was his thing. And he had a handler.
Right. That's the only guy that could control him.
The only guy who could control him, Kim Chi. Who had a mask on. And he was like, "Oh, back off, Kamala. Back off. I handle you." Yeah.
Never saw who the guy was.
Never saw him. No, not at all. Although we know it was Steve Lombardi now.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
You didn't know that? It was Steve Lombardi, the Brooklyn Brawler. The whole time.
I love the Brooklyn Brawler.
But, so here's the thing. The cab pulls up, and Kim Chi gets out. The handler, he has his mask on already. And he's already in outfit.
Wow.
Now, none of the other guys were in outfit, but he was already in outfit. And he opens the door for Kamala like he's handling him. Now, granted, we're outside the arena. We're not in the show. And Kamala gets out, and he's in a burka.
Really?
I swear to God, you couldn't see 1 inch of his face, of him at all. He is in this full-length burka, blue.
Oh my God.
With just the eyes cut out. And he didn't say a word. He just walked out in his burka.
Walking in that same little walk that
yes,
he had?
Yes, yes. But he never... There was a burka. He never wore the burka as part of his gimmick.
Well, there's a good way to avoid giving out autographs, by the way.
Yeah, well, that may be it. But here's the thing. He was playing his role.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the stadium, he was playing his role. Now, there's about 15 of us out there. We're all looking at this. And we're all looking at each other like, "You want to go up to him?" "I don't want to go up to him.
He's crazy.
You want to go up to him?"
This guy's legitimately nuts.
It's like, we know for real that, you know, this isn't real, but, you know, here's a guy out there in a burka.
Something's not quite right with this guy.
Getting out of the cab.
Something's not quite 100% right.
And the one thing I thought of is not only did he get out of the cab in a burka, he had to get into the cab in the burka. He had to come up to the cab, get in the burka, and someone said, "Spectrum, please." Probably Kim Chi.
I would hope so.
And the cab driver had to process this.
What's a cab driver thinking? I'm doubling the fare.
Yes.
I don't care what.
There's a big motherfucker in here with a burka. That's double.
And a guy with a white mask.
With a white mask. And you know, he's got to think, at some point, does he think he's getting robbed?
That's got to be McMahon's wishes, though. I bet McMahon was just like, we got to keep this whole idea that this guy really is
nuts and from the wild alive.
I know. But and in real life, Kamala is this good old boy from Mississippi.
Yeah. You know? Well, think about George Admiral Steele. That's the same thing with him.
Sure. He acts like a freaking lunatic in the ring.
And he was a school teacher for 8 months out of
the year.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And we bought it. I bought it, too. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, the guy's really nuts. He can't talk. He likes to bite turnbuckles.
He's got a freaking green tongue. I get it. I get it.
He's totally weird. Totally weird. That's true. That's true. He's not a school teacher. Bullshit. So you didn't get his autograph.
No, I did not get Kamala's autograph. But I also got Frank Talent's autograph.
I don't remember him.
You don't know who the hell Frank Talent is, do you?
No, I don't.
Nobody knows who Frank Talent. He was the ring announcer.
Wow.
For Spectrum Wrestling.
I remember Killer Cal Rudman
in the interview area, and Frank Talent was just the guy. He was this little mousy guy with glasses with a really high voice. You know, hi, and this is the next match. And he looked like a real...
But yeah.
I remember him now. Yeah. He really was a record producer in real life, I found.
Wow.
But under Cal Rudman. But he just was part of this.
So Cal Rudman was like a record producer too?
Cal Rudman was a... Yeah.
I had no idea. I had nothing.
Made his money. That's where he made a lot of money off the
record
business.
I just knew he would always call the Hulkster the Hulker. And it pissed me the fuck off. I hated him.
The Hulker.
He looked like Liberace's brother.
He did.
A little bit, right?
He did, yes. Yes. That's exactly what it looked like. So I see Frank Talent, and I decide to get his autograph, and it's really not much. But I do remember one story about Frank Talent from the ring. There, I went to this wrestling match once, had ringside seats, like second row, behind these three guys. And these three guys were obvious regulars. Like, they went to every show, sat in the same seats. They had their own...
Was one of them a Hillbilly Jim?
It may have been, yes. I don't know. After his long and illustrious career. But no, these guys just went to every match, and this was right after the local cable channel, Prism.
Yes, love Prism.
Had just stopped doing Spectrum Wrestling.
Oh, I loved Spectrum Wrestling. I loved it on Prism. It was such a treat.
This
because you got to see,
right,
like, at the time, wrestling didn't have, like, on TV,
the big matches.
They wouldn't have the big matches. No. So Spectrum Wrestling would have a lot of big matches. Mm-hmm. Sure, the curtain jerker matches were pretty weak, but
right,
they would have, like, you know, Superfly versus Morocco.
Sure.
Huge matches.
Sure.
Hogan versus, not Andre, but, like, Hogan versus, who knows, Roddy Piper.
But I don't know, you know, why they stopped doing the matches on Prism, but for some reason that contract must have run out. It stopped all
I
of a sudden.
I loved it.
And I happened to go to the first match. What the hell is that?
It's my cell phone.
What? Oh, that was Jose.
Yeah. Cell phone.
Anyway, okay. So I just happened to go to the first match, and there are these guys in the front row. Frank Talent's in the ring. Obviously, he knows these guys because he's cracking jokes with them, and they start chanting, "We won Prism. We won Prism."
Wow.
And Frank Talent, this little mousy guy, 5 foot nothing, 100 nothing, and with glasses on, old dorky-looking guy, turns around, grabs his balls, and yells, "Here's your Prism!"
Wow.
And starts laughing his ass off.
I think that might have something to do with why that show was no longer on Prism. He started doing that a few times.
Frank Talent grabbed his balls. That's
weird. That's amazing. I loved Prism Wrestling. I thought that was awesome. That was like a sneak into, like, you felt like you were ripping somebody off because you got to see these great matches. Now you see them all the time, but back in the day.
I still remember my first wrestling match at the Spectrum. With the, I was sitting ringside for that one. Somehow got those seats.
What year was that?
1984.
Oh, so this was right in the very beginning of this whole rock and wrestling thing.
Right before the Iron Sheik was the champion.
Oh, so it was that month that he was the champion.
It was the month that he was the champion.
Okay.
So,
I remember that.
And what happened was...
He had just beaten Backlund.
He had just beaten Backlund, and he was the transitional champion to Hulk Hogan. So he had a match that night with Tito Santana. Just so happened it turned out to be a heavyweight championship match all of a sudden. But that's neither here nor
there. Now, was Santana the Intercontinental Champion at that point?
No, Don Morocco was.
Still was. Okay.
Because he defended his belt against Salvatore Bellomo.
Ooh.
But anyway, the main event... Oh, gosh. 1984. The main event was Sergeant Slaughter with all three Samoans in an 8-man tag match.
Afa Sika and who was the other?
Afa Sika and Samu.
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 Okay.
I believe. But.
Sure wasn't the Moondogs?
No,
okay.
It was not.
All
it
right.
was the Samoans. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. Just making sure.
And the opponents for.
Let me guess. Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant.
Jimmy Snuka.
Jimmy Snuka.
And. I don't know who the third is.
No, there's two others.
Oh, there's four.
If I give you one, you'll guess his partner.
Okay.
Tony Atlas
and Rocky Johnson.
Rocky Soulman Johnson, the Rock's father.
Yeah, absolutely.
The match, and it was a best two out of three falls. One of the falls ended when Jimmy Snuka got up on Andre's shoulders and did the Superfly.
How cool is that?
Oh, the spectrum went ape shit.
I am sure they did.
They went,
and that was when Slaughter was a bad guy.
Slaughter was a bad guy. Yes,
he was a heel.
He was a bad guy, and he was
for not much longer though. After that point,
and there was this little funny thing they did in a ring where they whipped Sergeant Slaughter off the ropes, and he ducked underneath a punch, but then he realized he was running right toward Andre. Andre did this big at him, raised up his arms and scared him, and Sergeant Slaughter backed off, and Andre looked over toward us and gave that big shitty grin he had. Yeah,
loved Andre. Loved him. Loved him.
Those are memories right there. Seeing a big fat man wrestle.
I think I have a good memory for him.
Okay, one more here.
This was a little later on in the Spectrum career. So this was around 1990, let's say 1996, 97. It was 1997. I went to a Phantoms game. I was actually a guest at the Phantoms game of the Leukemia Society.
Okay.
When I was working there. There was a some kind of shootout going on to benefit the Leukemia Society. The goalie was Jim Craig.
Jim Craig?
Do you
remember 1980 Jim? USA
Correct.
Olympic team.
A hero of mine growing up. Ooh, a hero.
A hero.
I not only got to meet him, not only got pictures taken with him, I got to talk to him for like 15 minutes.
15 minutes
it
with Jim Craig.
Awesome.
And what did you talk about?
Well, I started off with the usual, big fan. My God, 1980, Luke, remember that? He just kind of like, after we got through that.
You remember when you like beat the Russians and all that stuff and you had the flag draped around you? Well, that was cool.
We got past that. Somehow he continued to talk to me and we just started talking about what he's doing now and it was really cool. Just back and forth. He's like, I do some things with Leukemia Society throughout the country, but I also just like to hang out and play golf. I'm like, that's awesome.
And then you went out in the parking lot and smoked a doobie, right?
I sure did.
Because that's what everyone did in the Spectrum. I
mean, not in 1997. It became kid-friendly by
true.
That point.
They become more friendly. But the first Sixers game I went to, two women were in front of me spleefing a joint.
I saw that at Vet Stadium. How many times on the ramps at the Eagles games?
Oh, gosh.
My God. You walk out to go to the bathroom, and you come back, and you got like 18 cheeseburgers in your hand. I don't know what happened. I'm really hungry. I don't know.
Those 18 cheeseburgers cost $230.
That's right. So I mortgaged my house in order
to eat.
I needed
cheeseburgers, ladies and gentlemen.
That big cloud of fucking pot. Big fucking cloud.
So any more memories? Have we run out of...
No,
just
basically, quick things. I saw the circus there like you did.
Oh, who hasn't seen
the
circus?
I remember going there for a field trip, I guess, from school.
We might have been on that. Was it Gunther Gable Williams? Was he the tiger tamer there or shit?
The hell am I supposed to know that?
I don't know.
Like
you don't remember
second grade.
You don't remember Gunther Gable Williams of Ringling Brothers and...
No. No, I don't. I was more afraid. We were way up top, too, again. And I was amazed at how steep it was, and I was scared shitless.
And the one thing about the Spectrum, and we didn't really get into this, and if you're still listening, God love you.
Wake up! Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. It was only my fucking eardrum.
Sorry.
The Spectrum had one concourse.
Yep.
For three levels.
Yeah, amazing.
Somehow they decided, well, there was originally two levels, and they put one concourse in there. The concourse, you could get to the lower level and the upper level. And then they put the third rung in that, as we said, you had to go through the second level to get to the third level. So
not very convenient, by the way.
One concourse for 17,000 people. And let's just say that this was not a very wide
concourse. No, it wasn't. No,
for 17,000 people, and they had four bathrooms, I think.
Whatever it was, there was always a line to the bathroom.
Always a line. You could not get into the damn bathroom.
Nope.
And it just
nope.
You, at that point, you pissed in your cup at the seat. That's all you had.
You thought about bringing a diaper with you. Seriously.
You did.
You really didn't. I don't want to go to the bathroom. And you go in the middle of the game, like 7-8 minutes left in the second period with a 2-2 game because you just knew no one else was going and
right.
That was the best time to go. So
right.
you would be okay missing 5 minutes of the game.
You might miss a goal. You might miss a big moment.
Doesn't
but
matter.
Fuck it, at
I
least
took
you
a
got
fucking
to...
piss.
There you go.
And I got some cheese fries.
Nice. And you know, they didn't have bad food. I will say that.
I can't remember.
They didn't have the most creative menu, but I'll tell you.
Hot dogs.
Yeah, but they weren't bad.
I honestly can't remember that.
You don't remember the ice cream cones they had?
No.
And dipped in chocolate?
Yes.
Oh, those were good.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Now you remember.
Yes. You said dipped in chocolate. I was like, yes.
Yes. All they were just vanilla ice creams dipped in chocolate. For some reason, these things were like the most awesome thing in the world. I don't know what they did. They put opium in this stuff or something.
Whatever.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Everything tastes better in a sporting event. Hot dogs taste better. Popcorn tastes better.
Well, not in the early days of the vet. Okay. Hot dogs did not taste better.
I swore it was the mustard.
Yeah.
I really did. I was like, the mustard's
going
to be.
That's not mustard.
That's not mustard. It's dried up urine. Oh, thank you.
Hot dog got a little tang.
So I saw the circus there.
Uh-huh.
I saw both indoor soccer teams that we had there.
The Kicks. You saw that with me that one time, mm-hmm. Yes. And I saw the Kicks
a couple more other times.
The Philadelphia Fever.
Saw the Fever.
Okay.
Saw them three or four times. I remember one game vividly against the Pittsburgh Spirit.
Oh, wow.
There were like 12 of us there. So I saw a Wings game.
Okay.
I saw a Phantoms game. I saw a couple
of Phantoms
games.
Yeah. How about the Philadelphia? We mentioned this before. The Philadelphia Bulldogs.
I saw one of those games.
The roller hockey team that they tried to start. Yeah. And a roller hockey league.
And who was the coach?
The coach was Dave the Hammer Schultz.
That's correct.
And Rick McLeish. And Bob Kelly, all Flyers legends, had positions in the front office. The Bulldogs thought, you know, hiring these guys would help.
Bring everyone else out.
Yes, it would get people out. And then one thing I remember is I would see, you know, at the mall nearby, we always had the Flyers there, the old Flyers to sign autographs. I got to talk to some of these guys, McLeish, Schultz, and each time I said, hey, whatever happened with the Philadelphia Bulldogs? They looked at me and basically said, don't ask. I got a feeling a few of those checks bounced.
Well, I probably. That, we went to the one game. It was one of the first few games they had. There were 500 people in the stands.
I'm pretty sure that 300 of them have comps.
Probably. I think Johnny and I spent $5 each.
Yes.
So
did I go with you to that one?
I don't know. I thought it was John A. that went with me.
Might have been.
I remember the cheerleaders coming up into the stands. And
yeah, you could get autographs of everyone on the team during the game.
It was awful. Yeah, so I saw that. I saw the Sixers, of course. I saw the Flyers.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm trying to think if I saw anything else there. Besides Clapton, I'm trying to think if I went there for anything else.
I was in the press box once for the Atlantic 10 championships. I got a hold of a press pass. And the press box, oh my God. Literally, it's smaller than this basement.
I heard that.
Yeah, I heard
it was pretty small.
Cramped,
the locker rooms were small.
Cramped as all hell.
Everything was pretty small. Hey,
who the hell is trying to call you?
It's Ray Ray.
Ray Ray. He should be here.
Yeah, we'll have to get him on there at some point.
But we've been at this almost an hour.
Okay, I think that's enough.
Yes, we should have put commercials in.
Sessions presents. Just
to break this up. So, gosh, this was fun. You think we should do this again?
I would love to do it again.
You think so?
We'll have something that's more funny next time. This was more just reminiscing.
This was more just us patting each other and stroking each other. Stroking our own egos, I guess.
Mike.
So, we'll do this again. Why not?
All right.
When do you think we should do it again?
When I get back from vacation.
Oh, yeah. When is that?
Week and a half.
A week and a half until
I go to vacation.
All right, then.
So sometime in August.
We'll have vacation stories. And shit.
And shit.
And shit.
Hi, Mom.